3, 2, 1. What is up, everybody? It's DWC Playoff Edition. This is episode 19 for this season, our third season in on doing this podcast. As always, you can listen to us audio only on Apple and Spotify. And if you guys want to see our beautiful faces, we are on YouTube under Defense Wins Championships Podcast. Search that up and anything and we'll pop up. So we'll also be on Twitter at DWC2022 and on Instagram at Defense Wins Championships. And we're going to go ahead. It's a playoff edition, so we're going to be talking about the specific games and why we picked these teams instead of just, you know, our usual list, because it's only six games, so we can talk about each of the games. I remember we did that shit our season one. Season one, we used to do every single game, bruh. That shit was hilarious.
Three and a half hour episodes.
So thank God we don't do that shit anymore.
But we're gonna talk about the games today, though.
Yeah, we are.
Playoffs.
We're gonna go ahead and get into the coaches getting fired. Gerard Mayo, fired from his Patriots job. It was kind of interesting.
Can we just lump in Pierce with him and just talk about both at the same time? Because I think it was similar situations.
Where are you getting at here? What's going on?
No, I'm getting at the point where, like, both of them were stand-ins or wasted time. Like, I don't know what the owners were doing. Okay, how many times for Pierce separately, how many times does hiring the interim head coach work? You know what I mean? Like, it never does. So I get Pierce, like, gave him life. Same with the Saints coach this year. Like, the interim head coach gave him life. They won a few games after. They looked like a more competent team. Mm-hmm. But, like, they would be wrong in hiring him as the full-time guy. Like, that shit wears off just like backup QBs do. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It only gives you life for so much time. But I don't know. I feel like the Raiders have never been able to keep a coach anyway. But, like, both – coaches got hired this cycle, right?
Yeah.
Both coaches didn't have their starting QB, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the Patriots drafted Drake May, which was a good pick, by the way.
Yeah.
I don't see why that was a problem. But, like, you can't expect Drake May with the roster that they had to make a bunch of noise in a division with the Bills, Dolphins, and Jets, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, those were three projected playoff teams at the start of the season. And as far as the Raiders couldn't trade up to get the QB they wanted. They wanted like four or five QBs. They wanted Jaden Daniels. Pierce wanted Jaden Daniels in that draft last year. And if he got him this year, he probably wouldn't be fired, right?
Mm-hmm.
But other than, like, I guess the point I'm trying to make is Pierce had a good draft last year. Look at Brock Bowers. Their first pick. And they didn't do the stupid thing by just taking a QB that they could get at the time. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. They took the best available player, and look at him. He set the NFL rookie record for fucking catches for a tight end. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I thought the draft went well for the Raiders. I thought the Raiders, honestly, were a tough team to play consistently. And they're just missing a QB. And this is the draft that I thought they would give Pierce to get the QB and move on from there. And Gerard Mayo, like, the team did play hard, and they don't have a lot of talent. Like, they were barren. They have their QB. Now let him at least get another year to build in another draft. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I just think, like, why did they even hire these guys? I don't get it.
It was weird. I get more of firing Antonio Pierce if you were to fire one of them out of the two, because it seemed like when Belichick left there, Robert Kraft was like, yo, we're going to hand, you know, the keys over to Gerard Mayo, which we all thought was cool as fuck. And I don't know if they said, like, behind the scenes, this is like a one-year rental or what. Like, this is kind of weird for him just to get fired.
I mean, they shafted him.
It seems like Vrabel's gonna go there from what we think, which isn't, like, I'm not mad at Vrabel being the coach for the Patriots, but you kind of did Jerod Mayo dirty as fuck. And even Kraft was like, yo, like, I didn't want to have to do this. Like, brother, you make the final decision.
Plus, like, to your point, Vrabel was available last year.
Yeah. Nobody wanted him.
That's what I mean. No one, he didn't even do many interviews or anything. Maybe he wanted to take a break.
Mm-hmm.
That's the only thing I can think of. He wanted a year off, do what he wanted. But then again, he joined the Browns staff as an analyst and helped them the whole year. So I don't know. It makes no sense. Like, Robert Kraft is starting to show who he actually is. And Belichick was right all along. Like, Belichick, Kraft always defended Brady, which makes sense. Like, you want to keep Brady. But when all that shit was going down between Belichick and Brady at the time, and Belichick was like, listen, we need to draft a QB, a successor for Brady. And Brady never wanted that. And Kraft was like, no, we're not doing that until Brady's completely done. And guess what happened? They never got it, and they haven't been good ever since Tom Brady left, right? Because they wouldn't let Belichick draft a QB to be his successor. I think Kraft really isn't that great of an owner. Like, I think he lucked out with Belichick and then Belichick's staff drafting Brady. And he's too involved at this point. And I think it's going to hurt them because Mayo never had a fair – he never had a fair fucking chance at all. Zero. Zero fair chance. And you could say Pierce didn't either. The thing about Pierce is I didn't really like how he was in press conferences and stuff. He sounds more like a player in press conferences than a – leader, like a coach, because he is really hard on his players, and I don't know if they react well to that all the time. They do play hard though on Sundays, so I don't know. To me, it's hard to fire coaches when you don't have a QB, you know?
Yeah.
Like, if it's been 3 or 4 years and you still don't have a QB, that's on the coach or the GM. But like, 1 year, and the Raiders, we all knew the Raiders, they didn't have the capital to trade up to get the QB they wanted. They were going to wait one more year. We all knew.
Yeah.
Apparently, except for Mark Davis, the fucking Raiders owner. So, I don't know. Both are just, like, mind-blowing to me. I think both did a little bit dirty, and it's just like, come on.
Yeah, I mean, I'm on the same page with you. Like, if either one of them was to get fired, I thought it'd be Antonio Pierce. I think – I don't like how he – I know that, like, some players respond differently to the way he coaches. I don't really like how he talks to the media in general. And he's very blunt. Like, he doesn't really hide anything, which is fine. You know, I like a coach that is honest, but like, when you're basically, I remember he was making threats like, oh, like we gonna weed out like who the fuck is the issue here. And it seems like he did, because they got rid of Davante Adams, and now, you know, that is a whole, you know, shitstorm in of itself. But yeah, I mean, at least, like, unfortunately, I know what our podcast is calling, and I think at the end of the day, defense does win championships. But this shit is definitely a quarterback league, and we're seeing it with, and we'll talk about it later in a bit, we've seen it with the Giants. Like, their owner is giving Dable, like, because one more chance, because they know, like, all right, we're getting, like, you're going to get your QB. I don't know how short his leash is on the QB development, but he's going to at least get a QB. I think all these coaches, unless you're like dog shit, right? I think all these coaches deserve at least a chance with their QB. And neither one of them, I mean, Jerod Mayo, they finally got their QB, and I think Drake May is a great QB. We could see later on, you know, 5-10 years down the road that he could be, which is crazy, he could be the best QB in that draft.
Yeah,
because the things that he does, and he is a very underrated scrambler. I think he's like, I think the stats was like he was second in yards per scramble in a season in NFL history. Like, he can do it. He's really good. And all you need, and that's what's great about having a quarterback like that, knowing you have a franchise quarterback, is just so easy to build around this guy because he can uplift other players. I mean, when's the last time we talked about fucking Butte, Kayshon Butte? Booty. I don't know how to pronounce his last name.
I feel like on the Booty broadcast, I always say
Booty. He's looking like fucking a stud. And, you know, I don't, you know, we still have the milk carton out missing Jalen Polk. But it's, you know, they have a high draft pick. They can go get Travis Hunter. They can, you know, build a team here. I know it's going to be hard in that division, but they can make some noise. And now we're just starting back from square one. I mean, at least these guys coming up next, we're going to get their pick at the quarterback for the Raiders. And then, you know, whoever's the Patriots coach can get their pick of who they want. But, yeah, I think both of them got shafted. It's very unfortunate. It seems to happen a lot in the NFL. We all know it's a cutthroat business out there. But like you said, with Robert Kraft, like, this is the first time that we're seeing – not the first time, but, you know, the first couple of years that we're seeing him getting involved, because he didn't have to do that shit. All he had to do was sit up in that nice-ass little box seat, get drunk, fucking, you know. Hey, Robert Kraft. Hey, bro, we love Kraft mac and cheese. Do not shut our podcast down. Doing things that should not be done, getting drunk, and all you had to do was just – and this brother sleepwalked into fucking six Super Bowls. Mm-hmm. And that's how it is. You just chill and you let your – you know, the hired professionals that you hire do their job. And that's what happened. They did their job. They got Tom Brady, greatest quarterback ever, and they won six Super Bowls. And now we're seeing desperation out of this man, and he's putting his hands into the organization, which he shouldn't. And now we're getting people – fire. And like I talked about earlier, this little sob story, like, I feel so bad I had to do this to Gerard. No, you're not, bro. You know he's going to do this shit at the end of the season. As soon as and like you said, maybe Vrabel did want to take a break, but as soon as he was like, yo, Vrabel, you ready? Yeah, let's get it. And all we had to do is just fire Gerard Mayo. It's shitty. I hope he gets another job somewhere, because I think he's a good guy. I don't know about head coach, because we don't know, and the Patriots are dog shit, so it was tough. But I mean, they beat the fucking Bengals week one. Like, I was like, holy shit. Hey, you know, they might be something.
Jacoby Brissett, man, he is what, 4-1 against the Bengals?
Go. Shit is lit. So, like, hopefully they both get jobs somewhere. I think they will, but I want Gerard Mayo to get another shot somewhere. I know it's going to be a minute till that happens, but if I was okay with either one of getting fired, I get the Antonio Pierce. I do think he got shafted, but I also understand if you wanted to move in a different direction, because he's like, it's different with Gerard Mayo. Gerard Mayo is just like, we don't know, but like Antonio Pierce, I know what kind of coach he is, and that's not how you want your team to be run as an owner. I get firing him, because he wouldn't do the other way of coaching. He only coaches one way. And if that's not your MO, I understand. And another coach that got fired, and you know, it's been a long time, man. It's been over 10 weeks we've been calling for this man's job. We are so glad this brother got fired. Doug Peterson got fired, man. I don't know.
Fucking Lord.
I don't know what happened. I don't know who sacrificed their firstborn for Trevor Lawrence to go through all of this, but this man has been going through the wringer, brother.
Yeah. I'm scared for them, though, because they did fire Peterson, step one, but they needed to fire that GM, and they're not firing that GM. How many opportunities are you going to get? And my biggest thing is there's a certain someone – that has already shown interest in their franchise because of Trevor Lawrence and the weapons they have on offense. And his name is Ben Johnson, probably the hottest prospect out of any hire you can have right now.
Yeah.
But the owner's going to fuck this up, because Ben Johnson wants stability, number one, but he also wants control, and he doesn't want to have an owner breathing down his neck, and he wants a GM that he can work with. And
what is it Khan? Is that his last name?
Yeah, Shad Khan.
Shad Khan, a real one, bro. Literally said on their interview thing when they're talking, like, yo, if the new coach comes in and they want to fire their GM, are you going to let him? He's like, all opportunities are up with the GM there. I was like, damn, this brother is funny.
Which it's good that he said that, because Ben Johnson is not going to want to work with a guy that he doesn't feel is right for the job. And Ben Johnson's going to have a lot of control for whoever hires him. So I think it is a perfect spot for Johnson, though, because I do think Shad Khan is hands-off. Like, I think he lets the coaches do what they want.
He just wants to win.
Exactly. So, and I think he'll pay whatever. So, yeah. I think Ben Johnson's best bet is the Jaguars. Trevor Lawrence is there. Trevor Lawrence, and I shit you not, every fucking year, whether he's hurt, whether he's not hurt, he's top 10 in EPA. Every fucking year. Look at the goddamn stats this year. No one talked about Trevor Lawrence at all. He's like top 12. He's a top 12 QB in this league. And walking into that, with all the shit coaches he's had, Ben Johnson can make him a superstar. I fucking promise.
I feel like now, we're the only Lawrence Glazers.
Dude, I don't understand. Like, this is the thing. And Lawrence really does remind me of Allen the first few years that he was in the league. Because Allen also turned it over a lot. But people don't look at things like big play percentage and stuff like that, like big-time throws. Like, Lawrence and Allen are two of the best big-time throwers in the league. Like, and what that means necessarily is that they're throwing into windows that you don't always want to throw into. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So it causes more turnovers or incompletions, but it's also big plays. Like, when they hit those passes, it's passes that they can hit and they can hit only. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And people don't look at that shit when they look at stats. Like, if you look at, say, a Brock Purdy or something. Not Brock Purdy's not a good example. He can do both. Who's, like, a check down artist that has decent stats?
A check down artist? Are there still check down artists in the league?
I can't really think of any.
Maybe Jared Goff? I mean, Jared Goff doesn't really throw, like, fucking missiles.
Either way, like, a QB that throws intermediate to short passes consistently but has, like, over 4,000 yards. A lot of yak. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's not who Trevor Lawrence is. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that's not who Josh Allen necessarily is either. Like, when they get their yardage, like, 4,000 yards for Lawrence versus 4,000 yards for Goff is different.
Yeah.
Like, that's just completely different yardage and how you're getting it. And people just don't understand that. You know what I mean? They'll just look at the stats and be like, oh, yeah, Goff had a better year than Lawrence, which he has this year. No doubt about it. Goff has been, like, lights out, completion percentage, all that. But if we're talking, like, big playability, Trevor Lawrence is a top five QB in the league, I think. But now, and look at the difference when a number one has emerged on their team. Like, Brian Thomas Jr. is unguardable. And Lawrence has been able to hit him down the field, too. And he can stretch the field vertically.
Yeah, it's different with, like, when people are like, oh, Mac Jones has been – when people that say Mac Jones has been better, I think it's been the whole offensive switch-up because of how good Brian Thomas Jr. is. Mac Jones can't hit, you know, and make the throws that Trevor Lawrence does, so they send Brian Thomas on inside routes or slants, and he can just catch the ball and take that shit to the house because of how good he is.
I think
with this, hopefully – I do think that Ben Johnson, like you said, I think this is his best shot. You have Brian Thomas Jr., you have Trevor Lawrence. I do think he can get some sort of resurgence out of ETN. With Tank Bigsby, you can do a little, like, Lions running back duo from Timu. I think, like, this shit can really fucking pop. All he needs to do is get linemen because Trevor Lawrence gets fucking smoked back there. And he, like you said, with the Allen shit, I think it's, like, a mix of not saying, like, throwing ability, so don't fucking cook me in the comments. But I think of a mix of Allen and Herbert because Lawrence will put his body on the line.
Yeah, and he's
in times that he shouldn't, because why are you doing this for this dog shit franchise? But he puts his body on the line to make throws. Like, he will stand in that fire.
In my opinion, like, Lawrence to take the next step, which he hasn't yet, or people just haven't been paying attention to him because he's on the Jaguars. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
To me, what was the reason Josh Allen took the next step? You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It was consistency. When they got Sean McDermott, and he's been the coach majority of Josh Allen's career, he got better every single year that he was there. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
What has Trevor Lawrence never had? He's never had consistency in the league at all. With head coach.
Detrimental behavior.
He's had a new coach every fucking year. Doug Peterson lasted 2 years now. But he wasn't healthy for majority of Doug Peterson's tenure. So, like, I think Ben Johnson's exactly what the Jaguars need to give Trevor Lawrence consistency. And when you have a guy like Trevor Lawrence at QB and you shore up a few other positions, you're a 10-win team. No doubt in my mind.
I mean, I'm not in – we're on the – me and him, we're on the same page. I think the GM has to go. You know, thank you for drafting Brian Thomas Jr. Thank you for getting Tank. I want to shout out Trayvon Walker. I know everybody's shitting on him, number one pick, but he's had back-to-back double-digit sacks.
Another
inferior alignment, D-lineman. Listen,
and this goes for any position on any team. If you're on the Jaguars, if you're on the fucking Browns, if you're on the Giants, if you're on the fucking Jets, you don't get any credit for fucking anything. Because you know why? Because the teams are usually bad.
Yeah.
And that goes for all those teams that are consistently 5-win teams.
And the Panthers. I mean, Panthers. Nobody talks about Derrick Brown. I know he was injured this year, but when he's playing, he's a fucking monster.
People saying Trayvon Walker is like way worse than Hutchinson is ridiculous. When he's had two back-to-back years, double-digit sacks. Like, he's been good.
In the interior D-line.
Yeah, and he's playing – he's not even playing edge most of the time. So
yeah. He's fucking – he's elite. I think
people can make some noise.
In that dog shit division, they can make some noise.
Oh, they can take over that division in 1 year. Ben Johnson gets in. Maybe they get a new GM and they work on filling a few holes. They're easily – at times, the defense looked like it was fucking elite. And then other times, it was like, okay, why are you allowing 40 points?
Yeah.
But that – but Ben Johnson's going to get a new DC. He's going to get an OC. You know what I mean? Like, he's going to bring in a whole new staff. I think they could turn around 10, 12 wins next year, win the division. I mean, think about it. The Colts are – they're having issues interior with the locker room.
Mm-hmm.
They don't even know who their QB is right now because AR apparently doesn't care, which I don't believe that for 1 second. But you got the Texans coming off of the most hyped year since Deshaun Watson led them to the playoffs as the one seed. And – they fell flat on their face. I mean, maybe they can make some noise in the playoffs that are starting right now. And then you got the fucking Titans that are the worst team in the NFL, probably.
You gotta get a quarterback.
Yeah. So they could easily make noise. 10 wins, 10, 12 wins. They hire Ben Johnson. I'm calling it 10, 12 wins. They win the division next year.
Because they're in what, third place?
Third, yeah. And they were still, like, when Mac Jones was playing, they were still competitive. Like, they have pieces.
No, I mean, Mac was winning games.
Yeah, they have pieces on that team. Ben Johnson's the right fit there.
Yeah, I feel the same way. And I think he should – I think if you look at all of the jobs that are available, I know six teams fired, you know, sometime in the season fired their coach. I think he – the Jaguars is really the, like – I know everybody wants to talk about the Bears – but I truly think the Jaguars is his best bet.
Yeah.
You get the most money. I know he's going to – that owner's going to shell out money. I know he wants full control. He even said with the GM there, brother, I will fire this man immediately if you want me to. And you get fucking Trevor Lawrence and Brian Thomas Jr. I mean, it seems like a no-brainer for me. And no taxes over there, man. You get your fucking money. So, yeah, we're all for the Ben Johnson going to the Jaguars. Speaking of people that have been interviewing, like we already said, Vrabel's been interviewing. He's been interviewing everywhere. We do think that he's going to end up on the Patriots. And Pete Carroll interviewed with the Bears.
I think, well, going back to our Pierce and Mayo thing, I think the Giants owner did the right thing for the first time in maybe 10 years.
Yeah.
By retaining a coach, listening to him saying, listen, all I need is a QB. You saw what happened when Drew Lock played well. Like, just give me a chance with my guy and see how it goes. And I think that was the right call by the Giants owner, like, for the first time ever.
Yeah. John Mara. Yeah. It's one of those, like, if he let Daboll go, Daboll is getting the job immediately. And I think he realized that. I think he was like, oh, you know, this brother, we fucked up. He took some humility. I fucked up. We fucked up. We gave Daniel Jones a contract that we shouldn't have. Didn't get you your QB that you wanted. Because you saw, I mean, you saw that brother on camera drooling over Drake May. Just give my brother a chance.
Yeah, I know. They were another team.
QB.
Yeah, they were another team like the Raiders that had to kind of sit and wait patiently because they didn't get the guy they wanted. You know what I mean? When May got taken, what, second? Was that second? Yeah.
May?
Yeah.
Third. I thought he got taken
third. When he got taken third, they knew they didn't like anyone else on the board. They took the next best available player, Malik Nabers. And the Raiders were the same way. They were like, once Jane Daniels got taken, they were like, all right, we're going to sit this one out. We're going to wait. But like we said, the fucking Raiders owner, impatient, didn't give it one more year, see what Pierce does with a rookie QB that they want. Because I honestly think Shadur is probably interested in the Raiders the most. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I like what the Giants did for the first time in a while. I think they should retain him, give him at least a year. Win or lose next year, like at least they let Dable have his guy and try it out. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like that's all I ask for with teams. Like that's it.
Yeah. You think that the I know that Mark Davis said he's going to let Tom Brady help him in hiring a coach. You think he's going to choose a good one?
I don't. Why is he giving him so much control? Like
I think Mark Davis is easy to manipulate.
I'm not gonna lie. That's what it sounds like. That man gave Gruden fucking $10 million a year.
Yeah. I mean,
10 year, $10 million a year.
Yeah, that shit was dumb as fuck, bro. That shit was funny though. Not my fucking team. Hey, shout out the Raiders. I don't know what they're doing. But yeah, I'm 100% with you. I'm glad that he kept both the GM and the coach, and he kept it real. He's like, listen, motherfuckers, this is it.
Yeah,
you got like 1 or 2 years, brother, and if it's not fixed, you guys are fucking out of here.
Which is how it should be. Like,
yeah,
I mean, you shouldn't give. People need to learn patience, but it also shouldn't extend too far.
Like the Bengals.
Yeah. And you know what's funny is I think Zach Taylor, like, I'm not going to say he's a great coach, but, like, I do think he gets his players, like, they play hard for him. Like, he's a player's coach. They like him around. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And his offenses, they are good. Like, even when Burrow wasn't playing at the end of last year, like, he switched up the scheme. Made it fit, Browning, and they were winning games. Like, I do think offensively, like, he is a good coach, but whatever it is not working. And I get they're working with scraps because the GMs and the owner won't shill out money, but you got to find somebody that can figure it out, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
and if he can't figure it out, then you got to get rid of him. It is what it is, like, whether you like him or not.
Yeah, I mean, anybody, I think anybody coaching for that team is already getting the short end of the stick. That's why they had to hire someone like Zach Taylor, someone that we didn't know who the fuck that was, because I don't think that's even with Joe Burrow, I don't think that's a premier coaching position.
I mean, make it make sense how Lou Anarumo, or whatever, how you say his last name, Lou, the defense coordinator for them, had back-to-back years of having, like, good defense.
Mm-hmm.
Good. And then this year, he's giving no one besides Trey Hendrickson. And he's expected to have a good defense again. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
They didn't fill the D-tackle need that they – I mean, they were injured up front. But still, like, he wasn't given anything. So he was –
I mean, they let DJ Reader walk.
Which I let
Jesse Bates walk. No.
Yeah. And it wasn't that – like, the salary margins were slim.
Yeah.
For what
DJ Reader got. It's not like Reader was getting Javon Hargrave money.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know. I think Lou was kind of a scapegoat.
Yeah,
are you going to be able to find a guy better than Lou for less money? You know what I mean? Like, it comes down to that.
I know they're like, you know, the fans. And I was talking to some of the Bengals fans because we live in Ohio. So, obviously, some of our friends are Bengals fans. And I was like, I was surprised. Like, I thought I would at least be doing Lou a solid and being like, yo, I get it. Like, and they're talking about, oh, Robert Saleh. Brother, Robert Saleh ain't going over there to work for what? Fucking 15 an hour? Hell no, bro.
He'll probably go back to the 49ers.
Yeah. I mean, there's no reason. That job is not as, for lack of a term, sexy as people think it is. Like, you're already working with scraps, right? Mm. You're not going to get the money you want because, this Jamar Chase contract. And if they re-sign T. Higgins, like, you get nothing. And you got to rely on the GM and whoever to draft players for you. And like we always said, in the beginning, I was rewatching our videos, bro. Some of our takes, idiot. You know, we're idiots. Other ones, we were right on the fucking nose.
Hey, we always own up to those stupid ass takes.
Yeah. But I was like, we talked about it in the beginning, like, you can't walk out with this defense. We were talking about, oh, they're parading that they're playing rookies in second years. Brother, that is not the flex you think it is. And now you got motherfuckers backpedaling and looking back and seeing other people, you know, catch fucking bombs. Because you decided to bring back Von Bell. You decided to bring Geno Stone.
First mistake where I started to see the trickling effect was Jesse Bates letting him walk, an all-pro safety. Like, that was the trickling effect. I was like, oh, God, this is it for them.
I was like, y'all can't be this poor. there's no way. You're paying your fucking – you're paying your linebackers $10 an hour.
They are cash poor, and that's the difference.
Poor. Yeah.
Like, the Saints are cash poor. That's why they are negative in millions in the cap. Mm-hmm. The Browns aren't cash poor. That's why we can still upfront $60 million for free agency this year, even though we're paying – a ridiculous amount. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's the difference.
You can't be cash poor and draft bad.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't work like that.
Which, like, the Bengals GMs, like, they've hit on a few people. Like, they've hit on some good draft picks, mainly wide receiver. They've been very good at drafting wide receivers.
Yeah. But,
like, eventually, when you have to play rookies nonstop, it's an ideal team is playing some rookies. Not filling depth, not filling like starting positions with rookies. You want them to sit and get acclimated to the NFL the first year.
Yeah.
Like, I was so relieved this year for the Browns that I didn't need to play Mike Hall in a full-time role for the first time ever. Like, everyone's like, oh, the Browns picks are never good in the first round. Well, think about those picks and how they've had to play immediately.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, we've been so bad that we've had to play our first, second, third round pick as starting guys in the NFL. So, of course, they're getting washed by grown men because they're fucking 20. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Mike Hall didn't have to play majority of the year this year. And he had a pretty good year because he didn't get thrown into the wolves immediately. Like, the Bengals are throwing their guys in, and it's just not working out well for the defense. We went on a little rant about the Bengals there, but you're right. Like, the Bengals are in a position where, like, you either have to decide, do we continue with this or do we let him go and find a new guy that maybe can turn it around? Because you have Burrow. You can't waste Burrow's prime. Like, if it was me and I did like Zach Taylor, we went to the AFC Championship back-to-back years. We went to one Super Bowl. Are we going to get back to that point when shit gets tough, though? That was when they were making it to the AFC Championship game. Burrow hadn't signed his new contract yet.
Mm-hmm.
Jamar Chase was still on a rookie deal. T. Higgins still on a rookie deal. Now we're at the pressure point where all of them, Burrow got paid. Jamar Chase is going to get the most money a wide receiver has ever seen in the NFL. T. Higgins is another number one that you're going to have to pay money to. Like, this is the moment where coaches make names for themselves.
Yep.
Because this is where you have to squeeze and figure out. This is like where evaluation of players like comes in. This is what decides really good coaches, like great coaches with good coaches. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And I'm with you. I don't think Zach Taylor's a bad coach per se. Mm. I don't think he's a bad coach. I think he's got a shit hand dealt with, which is hard to say because he's got a top three quarterback and a wide receiver that just won Triple Crown. I get that. That's tough. That's tough as fuck. But at the same time, he's been keeping you guys afloat with dog shit, right?
Yep.
And you have to figure out, yo, are we going to keep this guy and just keep banking on Burrow's ability? Or are we going to get a new coach and have to potentially be worse? Because you don't know who the fuck they're about to hire. And I don't know what they're going to do. As long as that owner is alive, it's up and it's stuck. And who's to say that eventually, 5 years down the line, next contract comes up, Joe Burrow's like, I'm good.
It's a possibility. I mean, the thing about – another thing you have to look at is, like, are the GMs doing the right thing too? Because how – they've tried almost everything to get that O-line right, and mm-hmm. it still is not fixed. You know what I mean? So at this point, you got to look inward and figure out what the fuck the issue is. Mm-hmm. Is Lou really the biggest problem? Yeah, they had the worst defense in the NFL this year. But we have attempted to fix this O-line for 4 years. Couldn't do it.
You know what I mean? Amarius Mims isn't bad. When he plays, he's really good. But I'm with you. If we're shelling out big money for bodyguards of Joe Burrow and they suck ass, I mean, they gave money to Lael Collins. I think this brother just gave my DoorDash the other day. Orlando Brown Jr., dog shit. And now it's guards.
Well, he got
now
hurt.
We sold all this money for tackles. Now it's the guards. Yeah. And like I said a couple weeks ago, it's harder to play how you play, how Burrow plays, with a motherfucker right in your face. How many balls did Cam Hayward bat down when they played? It's tough.
Yeah. I don't even know what we were talking about. We just randomly got into Zach Taylor.
I don't even know how we got to talk about Zach Taylor.
No, it's like the Bengals and the Steelers to me are in a similar situation because of the fact that, like, you know you can win, but you probably can't win at all. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And this is one of my favorite topics in the NFL because there's a lot of teams like that. You know what I mean? There's a lot of teams just like the Buccaneers. We know we can get to the playoffs. You can talk about QBs, you can talk about coaches, but can we win it all with the guy at QB? Can we win it all with the coaching staff? You know what I mean?
We still don't have our QB.
Yeah, and we know Tomlin can always make the playoffs, but he can't win that playoff game since Big Ben retired. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So it's like, when do you pull the plug? When do you make the change? Like, it's hard. What?
6-7 years? Because even like when Ben was up with us, I mean, he wasn't with us. So
it's complacency. Like, how content are you with just making the playoffs? You know what I mean?
We won 11 straight and then proceeded to lose everything.
I mean, if we're like, seriously, if I was the owner for the Bengals and we start out 3-6 again next year, I'm firing Zach Taylor.
Yeah.
Like, I'm sorry. And I've said this numerous times the last 3 years on this fucking podcast. You cannot continue to start that slow in the NFL, especially in the AFC North. You cannot do it.
Yeah. I mean, you know how ass out these fans were, these Bengals fans were? You have a top three, top five quarterback, a top three wide receiver, and a number one playing number two. You're scoring 40 damn near points a game, and you're begging the Chiefs with Carson Wentz to win.
Yeah. No,
that's sad.
It's
all you had to do was win one game. You had to win one.
If you ever have to rely on another NFL team to get you into the playoffs, that's your own fucking fault. That's where I stand.
Yeah. I mean, they were lights out December and January, but brother, where were we September and October?
Yeah. That's what I mean, though. Like, you can't continue living or dying.
We're the opposite spectrums. The Steelers start out lit, and then you just go down.
Yeah, it's the same
Bengals
shit.
Start down, and they climb back up.
But at
it
least
makes a good story.
That's the thing, though. Like, and I hate to keep telling you this, but like Marvin Lewis was the same way. They would always make the playoffs. They would never win in the playoffs. You know what I mean? And eventually, they moved off of him. So, I mean, I know Mike Tomlin, like, getting rid of Mike Tomlin is so difficult for the fact that, like, you know, with him around, your defense is always going to be good. They're always going to play hard. Dude, but he has not been able to figure out the fucking offense.
It would gut my team, bro. There's so many people that love that man to death. I can't. I still have hope. I just want us to get a quarterback. That's all I want us to do. And I don't think that's ever going to happen because we're never going to be bad. We're always going to be good. We'll never be bad to get a quarterback. I would love to get one. I would sacrifice one bad year. I feel bad doing that to TJ and Cam and Minka, but I need a quarterback. Or we gotta trade up. We gotta pull the 49ers and just give up our future and get the quarterback that we want. Because we can't keep doing these quarterbacks that we're doing. I don't know what we're doing. But Pete Carroll interviewed for the Bears. Bears are trying to get their coach. I really want an offensive coach to go to the Bears. I really don't know. Like I said earlier, the last 2 weeks, I don't know how I feel about hiring coaches off the couch. Pete Carroll's old as fuck. And
what are we actually doing?
I don't know.
Why is he getting interviews? He's fucking 80.
And he's a control freak.
Yeah, what are the odds he does well with Caleb Williams? I don't think that's a great pairing whatsoever.
No.
The problem is, I think, me personally, because I think the Jags are going to do whatever they can to get Ben Johnson, I think the Bears are going to try to. The Bears are going to interview him. They're going to try to dish out as much money as possible. But I think if the money was about even, Ben would choose the Florida team with Trevor Lawrence over the Bears team in Chicago, the cold-ass Chicago with Caleb Williams. And I think the Bears kind of know that. And I think they're reeling right now. They're interviewing people that I wasn't even thinking of. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And they interviewed Vrabel, but I think Vrabel's set on the Patriots. I really do think he wants to take that over.
Yeah.
He likes Drake May. But I really do. I do believe the owner for the Bears is kind of worried because I don't think he likes anybody besides Ben Johnson. And everyone kept saying Ben Johnson to the Bears, Ben Johnson to the Bears. But I think he knows someone rather coach in Jacksonville, Florida, than Chicago.
What do you think? Who do you think is going to go there?
To the Bears? Dude, I have no idea. I think it's wide open. And them even asking about McCarthy, we'll rope this in too. The Cowboys denied an interview that the Bears requested for Mike McCarthy. I just think this shows desperation.
Yeah.
Don't you?
Because why were you trying to interview
Pete Carroll, Mike McCarthy, Vrabel? These are all rehash coaches, which Vrabel, I think, is only doing it to apply pressure to the Patriots. He's going to get whatever the fuck he wants. I haven't seen one guy that they've interviewed that I've been like, yeah, that's a good fit. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I just think it's desperation. I think Chicago's fucked. I hate to say it. All of it's pointing. Of course you're going to do your due diligence and you're going to interview everybody. But let's be honest. Teams know who they want.
Yeah.
It's like the Patriots know who they want.
Yeah. And if the Jets could get Aaron Glenn, I think that would be good for them. And then really, as the Bears, who the fuck are you hiring?
And that right there wouldn't surprise me as the Chicago coach, Aaron Glenn. But then again, you're just recycling defensive coaches.
Mm-hmm.
You need an offensive mind. You need a young offensive mind on that team.
Yeah.
And if you don't get it, even if it doesn't work out, at least you got it to the point where a guy is in the building working with Caleb Williams.
You think they should get Cliff?
Oh, God. I didn't even think about that.
Cliff can simplify the fuck out of that offense for Caleb.
He might be up for coaching interviews because of what he's done with Jaden Daniels, for sure. So that could be an option. A second term for him. I think he was too young when he first got to the Cardinals.
Yeah.
But now that he's been in the league for a while, I think it could be a possibility, for sure. Yeah, that's a good sleeper right there. I like that. But even then, I really do think the Bears are they're worried. I think they're worried they're not going to get Ben Johnson because Trevor Lawrence and that Jacksonville job opened up. I think they were hoping that Doug Peterson stayed another year.
Yeah, I think it's fried. I'm with you. I literally think that Ben Johnson's going to go to the Jaguars unless the Bears give this man in a shit ton of Mr. Bezos money. Like, and it's crazy because we think, not we, but like the general public think like this, why isn't Ben Johnson going, like if he goes to Jets, why isn't he going to the Bears? The Bears, this is a premier position. What the fuck? A lot of outside factors really do settle in for people. Do you want to play in the cold? I don't want to play in the cold. I want to go to Jacksonville. I want to go to Florida. Do you want to get taxed out of your ass? No, I'd rather go to Florida. Do you want to, you know, work with this semi, like the Bears are like a semi, it's not as, and we, you know, I had to step back into this and look at the offense. It's not as perfect as people think it is. You know, you got, I don't think the players mix well with the offense. You don't know what you got really at running back. Why did you give DeAndre Swift all that money? DJ Moore doesn't even want to fucking be there. Keenan Allen is 50,000 years old. Like, well, the only bright spot is Rome Odunze, and they don't even give him the fucking ball.
And look at, I mean, who do you want to play two times a year? Do you want to play the Lions, Packers, and Vikings two times a year, or do you want to play the Colts, Titans, and fucking Texans two times a year?
Yeah.
Which division's easier to take?
As your first year as a coach.
Exactly.
As
head coach. I'd go to the AFC South. I live in Florida. I play three shit teams a year. I mean, the Texans aren't shit, but they're not great. I have the best QB in the division. You heard that right.
Cook.
I just said Trevor Lawrence is better than fucking CJ Stroud.
Cook.
Like, I really do think everything, like the Jacksonville Jags job is the best job on the market right now.
Yeah. And with the owner saying, brother, I will hang this man himself. It's like, what? Why wouldn't you want? Why isn't the deal done?
Yeah.
Why is it the? What are we waiting on, bro?
I think the Bears are cooked. I do. I don't know if they're gonna get the guy they actually want. They're gonna come out with a statement and be like, "Oh, we hired this guy. We've always wanted him." Mm-hmm. I don't believe it for one second.
I don't either.
I mean, they could, like you said, they could very well dish out the most money we've ever seen for an NFL coach, but that might be the only way you get Ben Johnson there.
And even then, it might not work. Plus, Ben Johnson, I mean, if he's doing – a lot of people – I mean, I know we've been shafted with this year, but if Ben Johnson was denying head coaching to stay with the Lions, I think that he has enough respect for Dan Campbell not to go to the fucking Bears.
That too. I mean, and Ben Johnson denied the Panthers' job last year. Like, he's not going to go to a situation where he feels is not right for him.
Yeah.
So,
and what has Chicago organization done? At least the Jags. At least we know with the Jags' newish owner that he just wants to win, and he doesn't care about he doesn't care about the money aspect. He just wants.
To win. Yeah. Do I dare say the Bears' job is looking a lot like? Because we've known our whole lives, even though the Bears really haven't been good our whole lives, that the Bears position, everyone wants it. Everyone wants to be the coach for the Chicago Bears, the media, all this shit. But really, are we looking at it like the Panthers' job now?
Mm-hmm.
Where the Panthers didn't get their number one guy last year. They're going to have to look at up-and-coming, very young, unproven coaches to be the coach there.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Dave Canales had a good year with Tampa, but I wouldn't say he was in the top five coaching candidates last year. Obviously, it worked out, and I thought he was a good coach, and I thought it was a decent hire. But, like, the Bears are going to have to get in their bag and look for young guys that haven't really shown much or haven't had much experience.
I know they're looking at the Iowa State coach.
Oh, Jesus. I did not know that.
Like, why? Like, what are we doing? I think at all parameters, and you need to, you know, shorten it out.
Yeah, I think the Bears are going to have to look into some spots that people aren't looking into. You know what I mean?
And that's going to be tough in Chicago media. Any move you make will be documented.
Who the fuck is this guy?
No. Yeah. It's not going to look good. Last headline that we have before we get into the playoff games, 49ers looking to get Purdy deal done quick. And I'm with it. I think that this is the perfect opportunity to be like, hey, you know, we saw what you were with minimal talent. I'm not paying you high dollar. I don't think that – I think, but I think Purdy realized – I hope you know, I don't know this brother personally. I hope he realizes that he is not going to demand like all this money. I would hope that he doesn't do that and realize like this is a team game and we need to make sure that we have money to keep this team afloat, because they've been bad. They've had a lot of bad luck. They got a lot of money allocated to a lot of players. I know they're talking about releasing Javon Hargrave in hopes of signing him back on a better deal. But he could just walk and go somewhere else. So
when does that ever work?
I know. So, yeah, they're probably going to – I would hope that this deal, maybe like – maybe the Daniel Jones deal, maybe a 40 mil, but like – I mean, you – I know they like drafted Brock Purdy. They didn't think he was going to fucking do this shit, and now their hands are kind of tied.
I think signing him is the right move quickly. Yeah. You quickly sign him. That's the thing about signing deals quick is you know how much money you have free.
Mm-hmm.
So I think them signing him over the next 2 weeks would be huge for them. They can figure out other positions, how much money they can move around for different pieces. I really do think the 49ers, though, like, I know, bad year. We've never seen this type of year in, like, 5 years from them, mm-hmm. right? Since, like, Jimmy G got hurt for them. But, like, I really do think they're going to be okay. Like, yes. They signed Purdy back. They get most of their healthy players back, like Trent Williams next year. Debo's been in and out of injuries. He's still not bad. I know he gets a lot of shit because he yaps.
Yeah.
If they can re-sign Hargrave, Bosa will be back next year. I don't know what's happening with McCaffrey.
CMC, yeah.
That's the big unknown, right? But Ayuk will be back next year. I mean, they were very hurt. They didn't have their Fred Warner's partner in crime. What's his name? The linebacker. Oh, God, what is his name?
Dre Greenlaw?
Yeah, they didn't have Dre Greenlaw for 80% of the year. Like, and this was one of the worst defenses I would say Shanahan has had in a long time.
Yeah. You get Saleh back?
Yeah, you get Saleh back. You get Greenlaw back.
Treverius Ward, I mean, he had a down year, respectively, we know, because he lost his daughter, so
yeah,
he was kind of fucked up.
Yeah, he had a down year, but I will say that both safeties got hurt.
Yeah.
Huafunga or whatever his name is got hurt, mm-hmm. didn't play 80% of the year. You know what I mean? Like, I really do think they get all their guys back. They sign Saleh back again for a year or two. Purdy gets an extension. Ayuk's back. Debo's back. Trent Williams is back. I really do think they're back in the – and look how that division played out. Like, it came down to the end of 10 to 11 wins. I think mm-hmm. the 49ers can do that. You know what I mean?
Now, can I chef up some cinema here?
Oh, God.
What if the 49ers get Genty?
I don't hate it. I don't hate that at all.
You know what I'm saying?
I don't hate it. They do need to fix a few things on their
own line. But they're in front of the Cowboys. They have 11.
That's true. Going 11 would go crazy.
If they get Genty, I mean – I know Shanahan has bad luck with running backs and injuries, but I mean, you can't keep, I mean, the injuries that CMC has is damning. Like, you can't keep that.
Yeah. I don't hate that. And I do think they're like, I think this was just a weird year where they couldn't keep healthy.
It was that's how it's been with his running backs. I don't know what it is.
I just mean, like, the team in general. Like, yeah. I think the 49ers will be fine next year. I think they'll get back to winning.
Like, CMC got hurt. Jordan Mason got hurt. Isaac Garundo just got hurt.
That was some weird. He's always had bad luck. Because I remember they always would hype up, what was it, 3 years ago? It was, they had Mostert for a while.
Right? Yeah.
Whoever was behind him, something Wilson. Right?
Jeff Wilson Jr.
Yeah, Jeff Wilson Jr. always got hurt every fucking year. I was like, dude, can this guy catch a break?
Yeah.
You're right, though. His running backs always get hurt. I don't know what it is, though. Like, I know they run the ball more than most people, but it shouldn't be like...
It's not insane things that they're doing. So I don't know if it's the conditioning, the strength and training. I don't know. But they're always hurt. And it's always like multiple week hurt injuries.
You're right. But I think they signing him quick is a good idea. They'll be fine next year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think they'll be fine. And like you said, with the division and how it sorted itself out, I think that it's kind of like the AFC South in that you only really need 1 year to quick turn around and take stronghold of division.
Yeah, and I think Stafford's at his end. Like, he's got a year or two maybe left.
Yeah. Cardinals look like they're imploding. I mean, our Cardinals correspondent, Shmee, was talking about not even winning Kyler.
Yeah, which is crazy.
Yeah.
But I will say for the Rams, like with Stafford, they go on a run this playoffs, maybe make the Super Bowl. I could see Stafford retiring after. You know what I mean? Like, I could totally see it. And then
they're hooked.
And then the division's wide open because Geno Smith has shown this year was the year to take the division, mm-hmm. and he couldn't do it. So if Geno couldn't win it this year, like, and Stafford's gone next year and Purdy and the 49ers get healthy, like, I don't see.
And then the Rams could go to purgatory. If Stafford leaves and then McVay leaves.
Yeah, I mean, it's wide open, just like the AFC South. It's wide open.
I think a couple moves, couple signings can literally jumpstart you into first in the division.
Yep. So I think they're on the right track signing him quickly.
Yeah, get him a good deal, you know, make everybody happy, and we're straight. Let's go ahead and should we do the bets or the
picks? Let's do our bets.
Bets first.
And then we'll go into our picks because we're going to talk about them a little bit.
Okay. So these are our locks of the week. We don't have a dog of the week because it's the playoffs. Usually the dogs don't win. But, you know, hopefully one of the dogs wins. Hopefully one of the dogs wins. But I'm not, you know, they're not going to. All right. So
we're not going to mutually agree on a dog this week. So we just decided not to do it.
So I have, so for our locks, we got the Eagles -4.5 and the Broncos and Bills over 46.5. I'm not going to lie. I know sometimes, you know, we keep this shit anonymous on which pick is which. I gotta get your reasoning for this over, man.
My biggest reason. All right, here's the deal.
Here we go.
everything, and I explained the Packers pick last week. Clearly, bad pick. They're reeling. I don't know what the Packers are doing. Yeah. That was an uncalled for loss, a bad loss by all means. They should not have lost that game. I know Jordan Love was in and out with an injury, but still, they still should have handled the Bears. Let's be honest here. My biggest thing with the Broncos and Bills is all I'm hearing. Ever since the Broncos played the Browns, all I heard was the Broncos have the best defense. They don't allow a lot of points. Those motherfuckers were letting up 30 points a game to end the year. The Bengals, the Browns, fucking, I know they just played the Chiefs with Carson Wentz and they shut them out 38-0, but that showed nothing for me.
Mm-hmm.
So here's the thing. The Broncos have been, they've strung together good offensive performances consistently, right? Mm-hmm. To end the year, Bo Nix has gotten good. I would say they're averaging around 25 to 28 points a game, right?
Mm-hmm.
The Bills, it doesn't matter who the fuck they're playing, they're scoring 30 points. They've shown consistently that they can score on any team in the NFL. So where my head's at is if the Broncos have any chance in this game, they are going to have to score over 20 points, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I think the Bills are almost unstoppable when Josh Allen is playing well. And I just don't think the Broncos are going to do well against the Bills offense. So I do think this will be – I think the Bills are going to win. I do kind of see them covering, which is scary to say because the Bills do have down games where you're like, what the fuck are they doing? But let's be honest. The Bills defense is never good in the playoffs. It never is. And I think Sean Payton will be able to expose them a little bit on the offensive side of the ball. So I see this kind of being a shootout and the Bills winning maybe by 8 to 10 points, but like late 8 to 10. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, I got you. I got you.
I can totally I can see this being 35 to 24 type of game.
I mean, Bo Nix is up. I think he's top three in big plays, like big play percentage.
I mean, think about both QBs. I mean – this is going to be, I really do think it's going to be high scoring. And I know because everything that we stand for in the playoffs, teams usually lock the fuck in on defense.
Mm-hmm.
Like, unless the Chiefs, Bills, Bengals, Chiefs, Bills, Bengals are playing each other, Eagles, Chiefs, like, typically defense rules the day in the NFL. People tighten up, just like the NBA. When you get to the NBA playoffs, defense tightens up. I agree for the most part. I just think the run the Bills are on offense and the Broncos defense has not been very good. I really do think this is going to be a high-scoring game. The line I don't love as much. It started at like 44 or something, and it moved up 2.5 points. I just think – I don't think there's a lot of field goals being kicked here. I think there's going to be a lot of touchdown scoring, to be completely honest with you.
Gotcha. Okay, okay, okay.
What holds you back from, like, the over here?
It's just Bo Nix. This is his first playoff game. The Bills like to start off dog shit in the beginning. And I don't know. I'm not the weatherman. I don't know how it's going to be over there in Buffalo. Everybody's been on ice, so I don't know how it goes in Buffalo. But, I mean – I could see it. I could see it going. I could see the Bills put fucking 30 on this team. Like you said, the defense has been dog shit. I know Pat Surtain. It's a race for Pat Surtain and TJ Watt for DPOY. I think Pat is the DPOY.
Can we talk about? We can talk about Miles being undeserving of the DPOY last year and TJ earning it, but this year TJ has done nothing to earn the DPOY. At least Miles was second in all the stats and first in pass rush win rate.
Yeah, you know what I mean? But the awards are so dog shit. It's all about winning.
I agree, but like, what are we doing? Like, he's not even, what is he, sixth in sacks? And his pressure rate is terrible? He's like 49th in pressure.
I think it should be Pat. I think it should be Pat this year because his task of having to guard the best wide receivers is fucking insane. And he has great stats against a lot of them besides fucking Jamar Chase. But Jamar Chase won the Triple Crown.
Don't forget Judy.
Yeah, and Jerry Judy.
I don't know. The Broncos have pieces, but like besides Surtain, like, and Nick Bonito, he's had a great
year. Yeah, Nick Bonito's had a great fucking
year. But like other than that, like, I really don't. The defense, they didn't play very good teams to start the year, so they got out fast with defensive stats. You see what I'm saying?
Bills have a great O-line, too.
I just don't see the Broncos being disruptive with their D-line, and I think Josh Allen's going to have all day to do kind of whatever he wants.
Mm-hmm.
So I think if the Broncos – here's the deal. The Bills could very well win 34-10, and we don't hit it. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. If the Broncos want any chance, which I do think they have a chance in this game because of the Bills being spotty on defense, if they have any chance in this game, they're going to have to score. They're going to have to score 24-plus points probably, in my opinion. You're not beating the Bills 21-18. You know what I mean?
I think it's going to come down to the wire for you over. I'm thinking like a 31-17 type beat, last-minute field goal.
Yeah, I mean, worst case scenario is the Bills blow them out because that's when I think the Broncos probably – it doesn't hit the over. But if the Broncos can score a few times, you know what I mean? I really do think this over is hitting.
And I have the Eagles -4.5. I just think the Packers are just decimated right now. They lost their wide receiver, Christian Watson, the injury, tore his ACL. So it's not – there's no chance of him coming back. And Jair Alexander isn't playing, which the Packers defense has been okay statistically without Jair Alexander, but it's always nice to have your number one corner, especially in the playoffs. I know the only injury for the Eagles is Jalen Hurts with his concussion, but he'll probably play. The league doesn't really care about concussions, so they're going to play their players. I mean, we saw Josh Allen play with a fucking concussion and Jalen Hurts earlier this year, so. Oh, excuse me, y'all. So, I do think the Eagles are going to win by a touchdown or more in Philly. I just don't think the Packers right now are well equipped to play against the Eagles. I think the players that they have are just too dominating, and I think it's going to be really tough for Jordan Love, who is playing injured, to be able to excel in this game. So, I got the Eagles -4.5.
Yeah, honestly, worst case scenario, last week of the season for the Packers,
Could have avoided this.
Yeah, they played their players because of seeding, mm-hmm. and then they ended up losing, which is a morale killer going into the playoffs to a team that you shouldn't lose to, yeah. who hadn't won in, what, 8 weeks, 9 weeks, yeah. something like that. And your starting QB got hurt. I'm with you. I think the Eagles probably handle business. I think they control the clock, control the tempo of the game. And it'll be like a slow burn. It'll be like a fucking 7-3, 14-6. Like, it'll just keep building as the quarters go, and they'll enforce their will running the ball. Because who knows how healthy Love is? I mean, he could very well hit the switch. I remember last year, everyone was like, oh, they're probably going to lose first round. Jordan Love in that offense was fucking 30 points and then 20-something points. They almost beat the 49ers at the 49ers, even with the 49ers having the bye. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's just who Love is. But with him not being healthy, and he really hasn't been healthy all season. Hurt his MCL the first game of the year. I don't know. He's been so up and down this year, I just don't see it. And like you said, Jair Alexander being out, I just think it's a recipe for disaster.
Yeah,
and the Eagles have been good. Like, Hurts has practiced 2 days in a row now. He's going to be back. He'll be fine. Like, I think they probably control the clock. They run Saquon. I think you're right. I think the 4.5 is probably a lock. I'd probably push it to 6.5 if I could.
Yeah. I mean, it's just going to be too much for them. And here, I'll show the picks so we can just talk about this fucking. We both got the Eagles. And I just think that it's just too tough. And with Christian Watson being out, they don't have to worry about the deep ball, so the safeties can cheat up. And Dontavian Wicks is kind of having the Jerry Jeudy type beat in the Broncos. Like, Dontavian Wicks is up there in top five in separation. I think he's number one, and he's number one in drops. It's literally all on him. So I just don't think that's something you can fix in the playoffs right now, and I really think that they're going to get cooked.
Yeah, I'm with you on that one.
So, yeah, we don't have to talk about the Eagles one. So we got the Chargers at the Texans. Surprise, surprise, we're hate-watching. Pick the Chargers. You want to go ahead and talk Mr. Hate Watcher himself.
All right, here's the deal.
DJ Stroud hater himself.
Hey, I've been right. I've been cooking all season. What happened? Backs against the wall. We need you. Most of your team is hurt. We need you. Our defense is on the field all the time. We need you. What did he do? Nothing. He fucking did nothing. I'm being a little harsh. CJ Stroud is still good. He's just young. He just needs time, you know? I don't want to sound like too much of a fucking hater.
I think
Stroud will be a starting NFL QB for a
while. The Browns guy? What are your QBs, man? Fuck you.
Here's the deal with this game. I do think both teams love to run the ball.
I think this game's going to be boring, by the way.
Yeah.
This game's going to be boring as fuck.
I think both teams like to control the clock. They like to run the football first. I do think the Chargers have the better QB right now. I do think they have the better coach right now. And the better defense, honestly. I just think the Chargers are going to take advantage in the red zone more than the Texans will.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they'll be able to get the run game going. I just think it's going to be a boring-ass game. But when it matters the most, I think the Chargers will probably make the right play when they need to. You know what I mean?
Are they finally going to do it with Herbert?
Yeah, I really do think – because, yeah, Herbert in the playoffs, they gave up that huge lead to Trevor Lawrence or whatever. Yeah. But that was Staley. I don't think Harbaugh – I think Harbaugh will have his team ready.
Mm.
And they're healthier than the Texans. They just got Dobbins back again. I just – when it comes to games like this, I don't think either team are doing anything after this game.
Yeah.
No matter who wins, but I am going to trust Harbaugh over DeMeco Ryans, and I'm going to trust Herbert over Stroud. That's just what it comes down to, in my opinion. And that very reason I'm picking the Chargers.
Do you think Sloak will get fired?
I don't think Sloak's going to get fired. I think, well, is he on the hot seat? Like, have they said anything about firing him?
I mean, I know some teams have been trying to interview him for a coach, but he's been on the hot seat a little bit.
My biggest thing is I think he won't get hired. Like, he was a hot prospect last year.
Yeah.
And if he had a really good year this year, I think he gets hired somewhere. I think he's not going to get hired, and he'll come back as the Texans OC again. So
Bears just dodged a bullet.
Yeah.
Because they would have gotten him since they couldn't get Ben Johnson.
Yeah.
I'm with you. I think this game is going to be boring. I do think that the Chargers are going to win. I just think it's going to be a matter of time. Once C.J. Stroud, and it's not his fault. His O-line's dog shit. But I think once C.J. Stroud makes a mistake, I think it's just going to get out of hand. And I think the Chargers are going to win by maybe like 7+ points. But it's going to be a low-scoring game because they're just going to run the clock out. I don't think they want to have – the last thing I want to do is continuously give – you know, as much as we – shit on C.J. Stroud, I don't want to keep giving him the ball. I'd rather just run the clock out and give it to him the ball as minimal as I can, because he's always, you know, a threat to score at will. And I think the Chargers are going to just rely on their defense and just run the clock out. See, Steelers, we could be this, but we don't have Justin Herbert. We had Justin Herbert, boy. It'd be up.
Yeah.
Speaking of Steelers. Steelers play – go to the Ravens. Steelers fans, I'm sorry, man. I've been picking us for how many weeks in a row? We've lost 4 straight. I picked us all every time in December. We've lost every time. And we're going to the bank. We had control of our destiny. We should be going to Houston, and I'd be a lot better about this. I would have picked the Steelers. But we're going to the bank, and we're playing against a guy who wants – his third MVP and wants to finally make some noise in the playoffs. Some noise. I know he's been to the championship, you know, AFC championship, but he wants to go to the Super Bowl. This Ravens team's fucking hungry. They have arguably, if Saquon Barkley didn't go to the Eagles, Derrick Henry would have won the OPOY. Lamar Jackson's close to winning his Heisman. His MVP defense is finally fucking locked in. I think there's a chance of us getting blown the fuck out.
Yeah, I think the Ravens probably win this game. I don't know what the Steelers do that's better than them. I would have said defense 6 weeks ago, but I think the Ravens really did lock in. And I just like, unless the Steelers can make this an absolute voodoo game in terms of like Lamar Jackson's fumbling it, he's throwing weird picks, I just don't see any.
I mean, it's happened before when we play them.
It has. And you guys know how to, like, if anyone can do it, it's the Steelers, to make it gritty, like 10-7 game. Like, it's possible. But I just don't see it this year. Like, it's another, you guys are just like Green Bay, where it's like going into the playoffs on a losing streak like this is tough. It's like tough for morale. You feel like the defense probably feels like we just can't score. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I just don't see it with you guys this year. And
I think
the Ravens probably win pretty easily.
Yeah. I mean, even when we get picks or, you know, fumbles or do something crazy on defense, we have a fucking 3-and-out on offense. I mean, who, as a defense player, why even go out there? You're going to be on the field majority of the time. That's how it's been for the past like 4 or 5 years. So if we lose, I want to get fucking blown out because I really want changes to happen. Not saying fire Mike Tomlin, but we might not need to give him as much power as he has. He's hired 3 OCs the past 3 times, and they've all don't seem like they're working out. So yeah, if we're down fucking 10 and I see a halfback toss, I'm turning off the game. So Steelers have done nothing for me, and I've picked you guys against some teams I shouldn't have picked you guys against. Picked y'all against the fucking Chiefs. I really thought we had a chance, man. So they haven't done anything for me, so I'm not going to do anything for them, man. Fuck them. Ravens. The Ravens are going to win. So for the Broncos at the Bills, we both have the Bills. I truly think that this is going to be a fucking another – I don't know how it's going to happen, but I think it's going to be another one of the Bills meeting the Chiefs in the AFC Championship. I think the Bills are just – fucking locked in. And I do, you know, spoiler alert, I do think the Bills are going to go to the Super Bowl. I think the Bills are fucking locked in. I think this is the year to do it. And I called it. I said Josh Allen's going to win MVP. I think this is the year to do it when there wasn't that much talk on the Bills. They lost, quote unquote, a whole bunch of stars. As we're seeing now, it just looked like it was cancers on the team. And they're fucking locked in, and they're winning, throwing the ball, running the ball with the QB, and rushing the ball. I mean, James Cook had a fucking phenomenal year. I think it was a potential Pro Bowl snub. He was a fucking beast in the AFC for rushing the ball. I truly think I would have given him the nod over Joe Mixon for in terms of Pro Bowl running backs.
Absolutely.
So what do you have, 16? And you're James Cook stan. Yeah, he has 16. You're a James Cook guy.
I always draft him in fantasy.
Yeah. So I think the Bills are going to win this handily. I do think the Broncos, if there's any team like that are huge underdogs to make a little bit of noise, I do think it's the Broncos, but I think the Bills are gonna win this game.
Yeah, I'm with you. I kind of feel a shift. Like, I kind of feel like it might be the Bills' year.
Mm-hmm.
They've just been playing so well, like, lights out. And, I just haven't – like, when Josh Allen and that offense is clicking, like, I just don't know who's going to be able to stop that.
Yeah.
Besides maybe the Chiefs, because for whatever reason, when the Chiefs play them, they can hold them to, like, 20 points.
Mm.
But even then, the Chiefs this year, when they played in the regular season, the Chiefs just couldn't score. You know what I mean? They couldn't score enough. And that's the biggest problem with the Chiefs' offense right now. So, yeah, I'm kind of leaning Bills in the Super Bowl this year, which is crazy to say. Because usually I just pick the Chiefs. Typically, I guess we really didn't make our predictions for the whole playoffs. We did that last year.
No, yeah.
I'm one of those people that I'm going to pick the Chiefs until someone proves me otherwise. You know what I mean? Like, that's just who I am. I did it with the Patriots as well when Tom Brady was there. It's just like, okay, someone proved to me that you can beat them, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, I'm like you. I'm leaning Bills. I think they handle the Broncos. And they get it done. So I think they're just the better team, like, all around.
Yeah.
And if I had to pick Josh Allen over Bo Nix.
No disrespect to Bo Nix. I love you, Bo.
No, Bo Nix is balled out this year for sure. But, like, I also do think that Peyton's, like, old head mentality is going to cost them. If it is a close game. Because he's not one that will go for it on fourth down. He'll always kick field goals. You just can't do that against the Bills. Like, he'll have to flip his mentality to be like, all right, we may not stop them all game. We have to go for it here. Yeah. You know what I mean? You can't kick field goals and win against Josh Allen. You just can't do it.
And we already talked about this in the locks, so we don't have to go over it too much. But we have the Eagles winning. Like we said, I just think we think the Packers are just decimated right now. And like Reed said earlier, going into your first playoff game with a losing streak, and you could have controlled your destiny and played the fucking Bucks, but you decided to lose to the Bears for some dumbass reason. And because I truly think, even with, you know, Love in and out, I think that they could have handled business with Malik Willis. And they didn't. And your punishment for not winning the game is you played the fucking Eagles in Philadelphia.
Yeah.
So good luck with that shit.
Yeah, I agree. I think the Eagles probably handle business. I just don't think Love is healthy, and the Packers have kind of lost steam as the season went on.
Yeah, and like I said earlier, I don't know if I said it on recording or if I said it off recording. The Eagles are not a soft team. They're not a team that gives you fairness or, you know, respect, in the sense of they're going to beat you the fuck up. So when they get to Love in the backfield, they're going to hit him hard. So you don't want that to happen to your already injured quarterback. And I could just see the Packers crumbling. Next game, the last two games, you know, I think these are where you get your entertainment. We have the Commanders going to the Bucks. I picked the Bucks, and Reed picked the Commanders. Some would say this is Baker hatred.
I don't think this is necessarily Baker hatred, because I do think out of all the games in the wild card round, this is the biggest coin flip game.
Really?
Yeah. There's factors. I don't like about either team, the Bucks or the Commanders. I think what boiled down to me the most was the fact that Todd Bowles is the coach for the Buccaneers.
I was about to say, yeah, you hate Todd Bowles.
It's not Baker. Like, I think Baker will be able to score points on Washington. I really do think this is going to be a high-scoring game. I'm not saying bet the over because it's 50 and a half.
Yeah.
But I do think both defenses aren't great. I think both QBs have played great all year, and they have good offenses. I do think this is a shootout. And when there's games like this in a shootout, what I like to do, especially in betting, is taking the underdog. Because it really, to me, feels like whoever can get one or two stops or a turnover is going to win this type of game. Things I don't like about the Commanders. I don't like this is Jaden Daniels' first year, and he's going on the road in the playoffs. It's not easy to win those types of games. I do think the Washington offense is kind of stalled towards the end of the year. So Todd Bowles is a defensive guy. I think he can probably find some holes in Cliff Kingsbury's offense and kind of disrupt Jaden Daniels. As for the Bucks, though, like, man, I do not like Todd Bowles' decision-making. Like, I really do think if the Buccaneers win, I think it's all Baker. I do. Like, Baker's going to have to show out. He's going to have to outscore Commanders. And that's how they win the game. I'm picking Dan Quinn over Todd Bowles. That's the reason for this pick. I do think Baker is a better QB than Jaden Daniels. Don't get me wrong. I do think he is the better quarterback in this matchup.
Yeah, I think that the Bucs have a whole bunch of multiple avenues that they can beat you offensively. I could see, I mean, we saw it with the Commanders. I mean, Jaden Daniels, after the terrible drop by Devontae, Jaden Daniels got the ball and he fucking beat the Eagles. He won the game. So it's not something out of reach. I'm just going to go with the person that's been there before. Is the first year for Jaden Daniels. First of many, hopefully. I think the Commanders are a great team. I just think they have a couple holes they need to fill defensively and with the offensive line a little bit. But and we get the faded matchup. You know, Marshawn Lattimore left. And look, he's back to facing Mike Evans. So this could be interesting. So I hope that it's a great game. I think it will be. I hope the over hits. But I could see either team winning this. Like you said, it is a coin toss. I think the next game is one as well. But I'm just going to take the guys that's been there. This coaching staff has multiple playoff game experience. And I think just the experience alone is going to be what is going to get them the dub. For our last game, the Monday night one, it is the Vikings going to the Rams. I think this game is a coin toss as well. It is hard for me. I know I picked the Vikings, but it is really hard for me. It was really hard for me to bet against Stafford.
Yeah, I do think this one's tricky because I think the Vikings have a better team.
Mm-hmm.
But ultimately, I think the coaches are about even, both very good at what they do. How the fuck can I not pick Stafford against Sam Darnold? You know what I mean? And I hate to say it, and I think the Vikings almost would have been better off just letting the Lions have the one seed and not playing their starters in that game.
Yeah.
I think it was kind of demoralizing what a broken down Lions defense did to Sam Darnold and the offense for the Vikings. You know what I mean? Like, I really do think if the Rams can consistently get pressure, and I think what the Lions did can be a basis for what teams can do against the Vikings here on out in the playoffs. Like, I think Aaron Glenn set up the Vikings for, like, destruction in the playoffs. Because think about it. The Rams sat their guys on week 18, they let Stafford, Nacua, Cooper Kupp, all their best players, they let them rest a week. McVay, 2 weeks, resting their starters, and now he has a game plan he can just watch the film on that Lions Vikings game and be like, all right, we can replicate this because the Lions defense has been reeling all year. They shut down one of the best offenses in football. I don't know. I like the fact that the Rams got a free bye week for their starters. I like the fact that the Vikings just came off a huge loss to lose the one seed. Demoralizing loss. They got their ass beat. I think everything's pointing in the direction of the Rams for sure in this matchup.
And you said, I don't know if you remember, you said last week that Sean was really smart for giving them this extra week, and that if the Vikings lose this game, it could spell bad for the playoffs. Aaron Glenn has done a phenomenal job. I mean, working with construction and Amazon workers on
that's crazy.
But you're spinning with I think the Rams can do enough. I like their back end. I want to shout out Cameron Kitchens. He's been playing fucking phenomenal. I like that. I think they can legitimately get a rush on Sam Darnold with Brandon Fisk and Jared Verse. Jared Verse is going to win a rookie defensive player of the year. It's been fucking lights out. I truly think they can get after Sam Darnold. I mean, we saw in the red zone, Jordan Addison wide open, Sam Darnold, no pressure, and he held the ball. I don't know what this brother was smoking. It reminded me of like seeing ghosts, Sam Darnold. And the thing that you can do to win against Sam Darnold is all you have to do is do it once. That's the unfortunate part of Sam Darnold. If it happens once, he's cooked for the rest of the game. There's no bounce back.
Yeah, what I saw, and Vikings fans, I'm sorry, what I saw he was doing when I went back and watched some of it, he looked like Deshaun Watson. He did not trust his O-line. Early in that game, he stopped trusting the O-line. Mm-hmm. His eyes were not downfield because he was worried about the pass rush, and he tried to escape the pocket every single time. And the Lions, what they did, I think Collinsworth pointed out during the game, they would get upfield, but they wouldn't let him outside. Mm-hmm. He would have to step into the pocket and work his way through the pocket. And Darnold is out of structure. Like, he's not a pocket passer. You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. I think a lot of his biggest plays are he gets outside the pocket, he makes a play with it. I don't know if he works very well in structure. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And the Lions were smart to do that. And I think the Rams, like, I really do think Aaron Glenn made a blueprint to shut down this offense. Kevin O'Connell's good enough to make a game plan to figure out, like, okay, what the fuck went wrong? Mm-hmm. But that's a lot to figure out within a week and preparing for the Rams. Yeah. You see what I'm saying? So I feel like the Rams can get them here. And the bye week, the extra week of rest for them was huge because of the fact that they've been injured all year.
Yeah.
And they still won 11 games and won their division. Like, them fully healthy, I think, is a completely different team than the team that we saw at the start of the year.
Yeah.
And I really do think, like,
that's how you bounce back. You know, not to shit on the Bengals again, but you know, that's how you bounce back.
Yeah, I mean, I really do like a healthy Stafford. I like a healthy Nacua and Kupp combo. I mean, that's about as good as a duo as you'll ever have at wide receiver.
I mean, Nacua has solidified pay him.
Yeah, and the thing about the Rams, I know Stafford gets all the headlines and Nacua and this and that, but they can run the ball. Like, they like to establish the run with Kyren, and he's healthy. The O-line has gotten healthy. They needed that rest week, and now they've had 2 weeks off preparing for this Vikings team. And got the blueprint from Aaron Glenn. So I really do think this is a big, big opportunity for the Rams here.
Yeah, I just think that, you know, it's hard to bet against Jettas. This offense is nasty. Defense is nasty. Brian Flores is getting
so much talent
for head coach. It's just, I know one of these teams are going to fold for us and lose when they shouldn't lose. But I think the Vikings just have too much firepower. I do think, even though with the rest staff, if they can get after Stafford, he's not the most mobile quarterback. And I think it's going to be a great game, though. But I do think that you're going to be able to see limitations with both quarterbacks. And I think that Kevin O'Connell, who is by far the coach of the year, I think he's going to get it done.
Yeah, hard to argue against Kevin O'Connell this year for sure.
But that is our picks. I'm going to go back to our locks of the week. This is going to be our template for the playoffs going forward. We're going to talk about the games, give our locks, no dog of the week. There's just no one that we can agree on. We're going to give our locks and talk about the games and just talk about, you know, some off seasons for some. I assume next week we'll talk about the coaching hires, if some have been hired and how we grade those hires, and then we'll get into some off-season talk during the, you know, the AFC, NFC Championship, Super Bowl, and all that jazz. So thanks again, everybody, for listening to us. Like, comment, subscribe, give us 5 stars, retweet, like all the shit that we post on Instagram at Defense Wins Championships, and on Twitter at DWC2022. We're on Spotify and Apple and YouTube under Defense Wins Championships podcast. So we will be posting this today on Thursday. We'll probably do Thursday for the playoffs since the games don't start till Saturday and Sunday. Just gives us an extra day to look at some stuff that happens, hirings and injury reports. So we'll probably be doing Thursdays instead of Wednesdays for the weeks until, you know, the season's over. So thanks again, everybody. Stick with us for the regular season and into the playoffs for season 3 of DWC. And we continue to pump out that content for you guys. And hopefully we will continue to excel and do our things that we got to do for season 4. So with that, we will see you guys in the next week. And we are out of here. Peace.